Here in Labor and Delivery, Megan Bryan is in labor at 40 and 6/7 weeks with her first baby. She came in earlier today with spontaneous rupture of membranes and meconium-stained fluid. She was dilated 2 centimeters and having irregular contractions, so we gave her some Pitocin to augment her labor and get her into an effective pattern. This worked well, and she's now 5 centimeters dilated, completely effaced, and the fetal head is presenting at -1 station. Initially, the electronic fetal monitor tracing looked normal, but about an hour ago, she started having mild variable decelerations with most of her contractions. Since then, the decelerations have worsened, becoming severe. Variable decelerations are usually abrupt in onset and abrupt in resolution, although they can assume any form at any time during the contraction cycle. That said, they mostly occur in response to the contraction itself. We believe most of them are due to umbilical cord compression. If the umbilical cord is positioned so that during a contraction, part of the fetus presses up against the cord, then the cord will become partially or completely obstructed. If either of the fetal umbilical arteries are partially obstructed, then this obstruction to flow will be reflected in an increase in fetal blood pressure. Since 30% of the fetal cardiac output goes to the placenta, should that flow become obstructed, then there will be enough back pressure with the next beat of the fetal heart to trigger a baroreceptor response on the part of the fetus. The baroreceptors signal the brain that the fetal blood pressure is way too high, and the brain responds by sending a message through the vagus nerve to the heart, telling it to slow down immediately. Once the obstruction goes away, then the placental runoff is restored, and once again, the fetal baroreceptors tell the brain that the fetal blood pressure is now way too low. So the brain sends another message through the vagus nerve to the heart, telling it to speed back up to normal. That's the physiologic mechanism for the vast majority of the variable decelerations that we see. Variable decelerations are not necessarily harmful. The mild to moderate ones are not believed to be dangerous other than their tendency to worsen into severe variable decelerations. The reason that they're not harmful is that the cord is not necessarily completely obstructed, and even if it were, the fetus is still pumping normally oxygenated blood to its organs. Now, if the partial obstruction and deceleration went on for a really long time, then that could get to be a problem, because the reason the fetal heart rate is 130 beats per minute is that that's how it likes it. If it's forced to beat slower, say 60 beats per minute, for a very long period of time, then oxygen distribution and carbon dioxide pickup may become somewhat compromised. One common definition of a severe variable deceleration is a drop of 60 beats per minute lasting at least 60 seconds, or a 60 by 60 deceleration. Lesser degrees of variable decelerations are considered to be mild to moderate, so we don't worry very much about mild to moderate variable decelerations, although we'd prefer that they not be there. The severe variable decelerations are a threat, particularly if repetitive, and we will work actively to make those go away. To resolve variable decelerations, we have several available techniques. We can turn the patient to a different position. If she's on her left side, move her to her right side. This movement will frequently shift the weight of the fetus away from the vulnerable cord and resolve the issue. Second, make sure that the patient is well hydrated. IV fluids can be helpful in optimizing maternal blood volume and cardiac output, maximizing uterine blood flow, and diminishing the impact of variable decelerations. Third, give some oxygen. While this is useful, it's only a little bit useful, because the mother has already likely oxygenated her blood to 98 to 99% saturation on room air. Giving extra oxygen may allow her to saturate to 100%, but that's only about a 1 or 2% change and usually not enough to make much difference. But it probably does make a little difference, so we do it. Fourth, slow down or stop the Pitocin. In her case, I would stop it completely. She's already in active labor and probably doesn't need the strong, frequent contractions the Pitocin is giving her. If her contractions space out to every 3 to 4 minutes instead of every 2 to 3 minutes, that may be enough of a change to both resolve the variable decelerations and continue to advance in labor. In other situations, I might just turn down the Pitocin. If she had been getting 12 milliunits per minute, I might drop it back to 6 or 4 and then see how things look in another 15 minutes. Fifth, we can start an amnioinfusion. This is done by inserting an intrauterine pressure catheter past the fetal head and into the amniotic cavity. In addition to accurately recording both the strength and frequency of uterine contractions, this catheter can be used as a port to infuse lactated Ringer solution in volumes of 500 to 1,000 cc's into the cavity. This effectively increases the amniotic fluid volume. True, much of this fluid will leak out, but most of it will stay in place with the fetal head obstructing the leakage of fluid. This added volume serves as a buffer against whatever forces are causing the cord to become compressed. Studies have found that amnioinfusion used for this purpose probably doesn't affect Apgar scores, but is moderately effective in resolving variable decelerations and improving the fetal acid-base status at birth. If we're unable to resolve variable decelerations that are severe and repetitive, and if vaginal delivery is not imminent, most of us will divert to a cesarean section. Weighing heavily in this decision is the knowledge that typically during the second stage of labor, normal patients will display significant variable decelerations, possibly due to cord compression and possibly due to fetal head compression as it navigates the birth canal. For patients who already have severe variable decelerations before hitting the second stage, the fetal reserves may be highly taxed, particularly if the second stage lasts for a long time. In the case of Megan Bryan, we changed her position, turned down the Pitocin, and gave her some IV fluids. We gave her some oxygen and slipped in an intrauterine pressure catheter so we could more closely watch her uterine activity, and also gave an amnio infusion. Consequently, the variable decelerations have completely disappeared. We'll allow her labor to continue and see if the decelerations return.